Welcome, everybody, to Christ Today on KKXX Radio. My name is Alfredo Romero. I'm the pastor of Rock of Life Fellowship. I want to give you a quick update on John, in case you don't know. John was in an accident about 2-3 weeks ago, a car accident. And thank God he's getting better, but he sustained some pretty bad arm injuries to his left arm. And that's been pretty difficult for him. He was in a Reading hospital for a while, Mercy Hospital. Then John has needed some skin grafts and a few things, and he's going to need some rehab to get him back to to health again. And he's going to be staying with his daughter, I believe, in Crescent City. I would definitely would like it if you guys could pray for John. He's just such a great guy, and I've probably known him a few years now, and I've been a guest on this program several times, and he's been attending Rock of Life Fellowship for probably at least a year or so. But if you could please pray for him, that would be wonderful. So I just thank you, Lord, for a quick recovery for our friend and brother John. And hopefully he's coming back soon to do the radio program. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Amen. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm Pastor Alfredo Romero. I am the pastor at Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico. I just wanted to let you know a little bit about me, because usually when you hear a radio program and you hear somebody talking, you need to know who they are. I'm a firm believer that in order to speak into somebody's life, especially when you're talking about the Bible and testimony, things like that, people need to know who you are before you can really try to minister to them. You have to develop a relationship with somebody, I truly believe that, before you can really speak into their lives. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. Well, I say I've been a resident of Paradise for about 25 years. Before that, I was born in Belen, New Mexico. I am of Indian heritage, or now they call me indigenous people. I'm okay either way. When I was a kid, I moved to Honolulu, Hawaii. I come from a long line of musicians and singers, entertainers. After college, I moved to Los Angeles to pursue a music career. God had other plans for me. And if I was going to just narrow it down for you, I got married to a wonderful woman, had kids, two beautiful daughters, realized we didn't want to have them grow up in L.A. So we moved to my wife's location, their home, and that was Paradise, California. And we were there until the fire in 2018. We lost our home of 25 years, and now I'm a resident of Chico. Grew up Catholic, always knew that Jesus was Lord. I just knew in my heart about my Savior. For me, the age of accountability hit when I was about 15, 14 years old. My teacher, who is a youth pastor, invited me to kind of a harvest festival for youth and kids. And I went, and I just had this great experience with the Holy Spirit. It was amazing. The first time I was like, oh, wow, this is so real. I felt it. It's like I was just felt overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. And I was raising my hands during the music. And I just had this great experience. And, well, that began this journey of my faith as an adult. And then, my 20s and 30s, I was being a musician in different avenues, different towns and stuff, and it was very difficult to live that kind of life and really have a strong walk with the Lord. It wasn't until I was in my probably 30s that I rededicated myself to the Lord and said, I can't live like this anymore. I just don't want to do this. I'm trying to do it my way, and it's just not working. So I remember my wife going to a church up in Paradise, and she begged me to go, and I just wouldn't go. And she said, "Well, the music's really good." So I ended up going to see the worship team, and I don't know, a few months later, I'm playing guitar on the team, and about 6, 7, 8 months after that, I'm a worship leader. And what happened in between was basically this radical, you know, realization, epiphany that, boy, I'm really messing up my life doing my own plans. I just really need to put the Lord in control. And I was just that example of somebody who talked the talk but didn't walk the walk. I know it's a bit of a long story, but basically since then, that was about 22 years ago, and God's had me on this really magnificent journey. And without a shadow of a doubt, there's been the trials and the tribulation times. But God's amazing, and I've learned that. And he's prepared me for, my walk with him really prepared me for the things that were going to happen in life, the challenges, the trials, the tough times, as well as the victories and the really great moments. You know, I'm a grandfather now, and I've got grandkids, and it's amazing how God has blessed me. But I mentioned the word prepare, and so that's kind of where I'm going to start pretty much the message in the show today, because John Sheffenson is always talking about preparation. You know, there's a lot going on in the world, and it just seems that it's getting worse. And as followers of Christ, as people that love the Lord and dedicate ourselves to the Lord, how do we prepare ourselves for what's happening in the world? You know, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, what do we have to do to really prepare ourselves in those ways for the ways that this world is really falling apart? It's really not getting any better. Yes, there's definitely victories, and there's some wonderful testimonies. There's some great things that happening. But in the big picture of things, this world is really struggling. And so how do we prepare ourselves for that? And I'm not talking about maybe the extremism of building a bunker and storing up food, and I'm not opposed to anything like that. I'm definitely not. If I had the means to do that, I'd probably do that as well. But we're really talking about a spiritual preparation. How do you prepare yourself spiritually? And I mean always being prepared for, John talks about being prepared for civil unrest. We've already recognized the food shortages and baby formula shortages and supply chains. And how do you prepare yourself to make sure you have clean water and you have, you know, food? That's one of the ways you prepare. But I think what my focus is as I cover for John until he gets back here, it could be, you know, a few weeks or so. You know, how do we prepare ourselves spiritually? And that's going to be my focus. You know, I was going to start discussing right off the bat today, if there would be a topic, if there's something that I've noticed as a pastor that's happening, and that is people are starting to ask a lot of questions. Why all the fighting? What's going on in the world? And the reason why I'm saying that is because as a pastor, I've noticed that there's a lot of people coming into church lately. And they've one of two kind of camps, either the Christians that have been out of church for a while, whether it's the pandemic or even pre-pandemic. You know, I just haven't had this walk with God. I just haven't walked into church. I've just not felt connected to God. So I really, with all the things going on in the world, I figure it's a great time for me to reconnect with God. And church is usually the first place people come to. It's the gathering of the people. It's the house of God. It's fellowship. It's the teaching that happens, the Bible studies, it's the Sunday messages, it's the praise and worship, and there's so many elements about what God does in his house. You know, it's a house of prayer, it's a house of fellowship, it's a house of praise and worship, it's a house of teaching and preaching, it's evangelism, it's teaching people that have not met the Lord yet or not started a relationship with them. It's also a place where people have had a relationship with God for quite some time can come in and grow. And God talks about people that are on milk or people that are on meat. So we've got this big, at Rock of Life, we got a big variety of people. We have people that haven't really given their life to Christ yet, but they're there to get information because of what's going on in the world, right? The second group of people, there's ones that they're Christians and they've given their life to the Lord, but they're really trying to figure out what their purpose is and how to walk in the Spirit and how to grow their relationship with Jesus, how to honor God and be led by the Holy Spirit in everything they do. And then we've got these very spiritually mature Christians. They've known the Lord for quite some time. They've developed a relationship with Christ in the sense that it's been a year, 10 years, 15 years or more. But they're still trying to grow that relationship with Christ. They're trying to still be that follower of Christ that God has called them to be. So you've got this big variety of people. Now, the one that's caught my attention, and this is what we're going to talk about today, are the people that are asking questions. What is going on in this world? What is up? I mean, there are people that walked in and said, you know, with all that's going on in the world, all the fighting and the battles and the division and the anger and the political differences and the sexuality differences and questions about identity and, you know, the controversy about education of our children, going through pandemics and government and battles about climate and money and crime and legal battles and race and you name it, the world just seems a mess right now. Well, is it? Yeah, it is. It is a mess right now. And as a pastor, I've really probably one of the top questions that, and inquiries that I'm facing are people that wanting to know what is going on. How do we prepare ourselves for this? What are Christians to do right now? Some people I talked to said, hey, we need to rise up. Christians need to stand up. We need to protest peacefully, 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 peacefully. We need to protest in the right way to stand up for what the Holy Bible says, that Christians for too long have been quiet. And then I've got a lot of people that have maybe the same point of view, but the approach is different. They really want to evangelize. They really want to gently share the gospel. They want to answer these questions that people are having right now about what is going on in the world, and they want to point people to Jesus. Now, whether you want to do it gently or a little more aggressively, I'm for it as long as it's biblical. And I'll go back to saying it's very difficult to speak into somebody's life if you don't have a relationship with them. If they don't see Christ in you, if they don't see Christ in us, I don't want to be the person with the bullhorn shouting at them. I do realize that when you tell people the gospel, that there's definitely the truth of what perish means, about what eternity with God means, and having a gentle explanation for our faith. But I also do agree with the boldness that Christians have been lacking lately. And it seems like they've really been lacking the ability to stand up for the truth in the gospel. So let me read you a couple of things. Let me start with some scripture. It's going to kind of set the tone what we're going to talk about for about an hour each week, and we have about another 45, 50 minutes left. And I just really want to start off with scripture. First, let me pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord, for answers in the midst of questions. And I thank you, Lord, for peace in the midst of turmoil. I thank you, Lord, for direction when people are walking around so aimless right now, God. And I also thank you for the truth when things are false, that you show us the way. So who's ever listening right now, Lord, I just pray that our hearts are open, our ears are open, and that we can really get some answers from the Word of God and from your Holy Spirit. And we honor you, God, and that we're true followers of Christ. So we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a lot of people point to Matthew. So when people ask me as a pastor, what is going on today? What's happening? I usually point out to them Matthew 24. And basically, let me set this up for you. Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, and his disciples pointed out to him, you know, the temple buildings. And Jesus said, you know, you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone would be left on top of another. And then later on, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. This is Matthew 24:3. His disciples came to him in privately, and they said, you know, tell us when this is all going to happen. What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name claiming I'm the Messiah, that they have the answers, that they have the truth, that they're the true way. And Jesus says, they will deceive a lot of people. They deceive many, many people. And you're going to hear of wars and threats of wars, rumors of wars, but don't panic, because these things must take place. But the end won't follow immediately, because nation's going to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is just the first of the birth pains, with more to come. And verse 9, Jesus says, followers, the believers in Christ, you'll be persecuted, arrested, killed. Many of you will be hated. You'll be hated all over the world because you're my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many False prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will run rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. If you've heard that verse before, there's a lot you could focus on. What I want to focus on is what Jesus says about what's going to happen in the world. Now, end times, okay, you could debate that all you want. Pre-trib, post-trib, no-trib, mid-trib. I personally, from what I hear the Bible, from what I read, I believe the Bible preaches a pre-trib doctrine. We'll be saved from the great wrath of God. A lot of reading I've done based upon specifically on the Bible, what the Bible says, the removal of the great restrainer. So we could talk, we're definitely going to talk about that specifically at a later broadcast. But the reason why I'm mentioning this is because Jesus says these are just the first of the birth pains, and then eventually the end is going to come. Well, Christ lays it out there pretty openly. Things are going to get tough. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be people who don't want to hear the truth anymore. There's going to be famines, and there's going to be earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, and we're definitely hearing that right now. So even from the viewpoint of looking at the world, you have to be able to see how the Bible, how God has already told us that this stuff is going to happen. There's going to be diseases. There's going to be fighting. There's going to be people saying, hey, this is the way. This is the right way. No, this is the right way. No, this is the way we should think. And there's so many people out there that have different worldviews. Hey, look, this is how you were born. No, this is how we were born. This is how we should think. No, this is how you should think. Now, as a believer in Christ, I'm going to point to what I know, to what the Bible says. And Jesus says, look, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And so that's what we hold on to. But the question goes back to, there's a lot of people out there that don't understand this. They're not listening to the truth. So how do we believers in Christ, and if you're not a believer in Christ and you're listening to this message, so what are you to think? What is going on? So I'm going to answer that question because I'm still mentioning this. I'm going to answer that question in a minute, but I'm going to read one more verse. It's 2 Timothy 3. So, and I'm going to answer one of the questions right now. What's the cause of all this? Why are people at odds at each other? Why is all this fighting? I mean, if you watch one news station and you watch another news station, the views are completely different. Where they're coming from is completely different. There's so many different world views, right? And then what's the cause of all this? Why are people fighting so much? Well, 2 Timothy 3 says, you should know this, Timothy, that, and this is written by Paul, that in the last days there'll be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends. They'll be reckless. They'll be puffed up with pride. And they're going to love pleasure of themselves rather than the pleasure for God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. All right, there's a lot there. But it does give us an answer to why things are struggling right now in this world. People are rejecting God. Now, whether you agree or not, it's just flat out. People are rejecting God right now. Now, if you look at news stations and news programs, they're going to start talking about what the problems of the world are. They're going to blame politicians. They're going to blame worldviews. They'll blame Christians. They'll blame different groups and parties, whether it's Republican, Democrat. They'll blame independents, the Green Party. They're just blaming everybody for the world's troubles. They'll blame other countries. They'll blame the past. They're going to blame what happened in our history for our troubles today. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of people that are saying that this is the answer. No, I got the answer. Where have we heard this before? Oh, that's right. The Bible. We've been told all this is going to happen. Now, interestingly enough, now, of all this blame that's happening for why the world is such a mess, on occasion, once in a while, on media, in media, you're going to hear somebody tell the truth. You're actually going to hear somebody say, oh, this is the problem. And it's not about your worldview. It's not about all these different religions. It's not about the politics. It's not about the government controlling this, the government controlling that, other countries influencing. What is it about? So I'm going to answer you. So the question is, why is the world such a mess? Why are so many people fighting? Why is all this stuff happening? All right. Well, about 2 months ago, I'm watching a news program, and there's a gentleman by the name of Jason Whitlock. If you haven't heard him, I'd look him up. He's pretty brilliant. He's pretty smart, and he comes from a really good view. He comes from a biblical view. Now, the answer is in God's word, but I'm just going to kind of paraphrase what he said. And what he basically was asked, what's going on in this world? Why is all this happening? Why are people fighting? Why all the division? Why all the struggles and the trials and the tribulations? And basically, Jason Whitlock says, this has nothing to do with worldviews as far as who has the answer and who doesn't. And this doesn't have with, you know, the right, wrong. And this doesn't have anything to do with anybody's answers to politics or even identity policies. This really has to do with really one thing, the attack on Christianity, good versus evil. If you look at everything that's being destroyed right now, and if you're not a believer, just give me some time, have some patience with this, because it really will make sense to you, I believe, if you really listen and open up your heart. Listen to this. There is such an attack on what is godly good to put it in place and institute worldly good, what the world thinks is good. Anything godly is bad. And look at movies, look at TV, look at media. I mean, I just read an article this morning that a school district has just basically banned the Bible from the school. They're going to have it under review. They're looking for what they call hate words, hateful words. They're banning the Pledge of Allegiance. Think about this. Just think about this, because I'm going to give you this worldview. Because Jason Whitlock says, and he quoted something, and it's Ephesians 6:12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And if you're not a believer, just let me recap this again real quick. I'll give you more detail. If Christianity is false, if you're not a believer, and you don't believe in the Bible, and you don't believe Jesus is our Savior, that he is part of a Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, that if you don't believe God sent his only begotten Son so that we'd be saved, they'd be born, that he lived, he'd minister, that he died, crucified for our sins, that he resurrected, that he rose again, and the whole point of it was to give us life and reconnect us to the Father. If you don't believe in any of that, then I'd ask you a question. Then why is everybody attacking Christianity? It would seem like you're just wasting time. If you're attacking something that's not true, not false, then why is Christianity the number one attacked religion or faith, like ever? I would challenge you to look it up, do a web search. Christianity is with the most attacked faith, religion, anywhere. People are being martyred. Christians are being beheaded and persecuted, driven underground for Bible studies. Pastors are being arrested all over the world, even at times here in the United States. So the question would be, with all the stuff that's going on in the world, why is Christianity being attacked so much? Well, why? Because if you're going to attack something, you're going to attack the truth. You're going to attack the one thing that can make a difference. You're not going to attack the false religions. You're not going to attack the false worldviews because they don't matter. They can't make a difference because they're false. So what do? You go after the truth. You attack Christianity. And I'll recap it again. And you're more than welcome to web search. I mean, I love looking at polls and I love looking at statistics, and I could read this stuff to you and tell you what I know, but I would challenge people to look it up. Christianity is the number one most attacked faith in the world. More Christians are being killed every day than any other faith. We're being driven underground. Why would people, for example, you can look it up if you'd like to, why are people trying to remove crosses from cemeteries? even Arlington National Cemetery. There's people that want to take the crosses down. They want to take Bible verses down. They want to take Ten Commandments down from courthouses. They want to remove prayer from school, which they've been fairly successful at. You don't want to bring up, they don't let you to bring a Bible to school. And there are people that have even attacked the names of towns like Las Cruces, New Mexico, which means it's the crosses. They've attacked towns like even Los Angeles, the Angels, you know, towns named after saints, which, you know, growing up Catholic, I'll be up front, and that's another conversation for another day, but my focus is on Christ only. It's not on a saint or a person other than the person of Jesus Christ. But that's another discussion on the radar for the future. And I can continue. You know, people, they're trying to close churches down. There's people that say your faith should be in your home and in your home only. There's people that don't want opening prayers anymore for meetings, councils. Just keep going on and on. Look at the movies. I cannot even watch any movie coming out of Hollywood right now because it's all just faith Christian bashing. They make us look like fools. They make us look like radical people that are just like brainwashed. And so that's what they portray. So the question again is, and I can go on and on and on, but the question is, why? Because it's the truth. I mean, anybody with some type of rationality would ask themselves, if you were going to attack something, what would you attack? The truth. You would attack the truth. And there's a Bible verse that it's pretty tough. And I like the way God is gentle and loving and bold and has authority. And there's a Bible verse that says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. So once again, if you just joined us, I'm going to recap just in 10 seconds here. People are asking questions why this world is such a mess. Here's the answer. They're rejecting God. They think they have the answers other than what the answers we get from God's word, the Bible. It's absolutely the truth, but it's being attacked. So now let's go back to where we started in the beginning. How do Christians prepare for that? How can we do that? How do you prepare for all the things that are happening? And if the persecution is rising, which it is, now, thank God, in America, we're not as persecuted as other countries. Try sharing your faith in North Korea. Try sharing your faith and have a Bible study and advertise your church in China or in Russia or pick almost any country in the Middle East. Now, that's persecution. And now even Canada. You know, Canada arresting pastors and shutting down churches because of they believe that you can't shut a church down no matter what's going on, whether it's civil unrest, whether it's a pandemic, that there's no reason to ever shut down a church. And I happen to agree with that. So back to what the question was, you know, why all the disharmony in the world, what's going on? It's the rejecting of the truth. So the Bible verse that says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. People look at God's word and they think it's a fairy tale. They think, even though it's self-proving with all the scriptures that are true and the prophecies that are true. I don't want to debate because I don't like debating, but I do like technically. Let me rephrase that. I don't mind debating if it's for the purpose of talking with somebody that's peaceful, that's respectful, that you present different points of view, and it's done in a respectful manner, then I do like to debate. But a Christian shouldn't get into arguments. The Word says, and here's a couple things. The Word says that we shouldn't get into useless babblings and arguments like the world does. So if you find yourself as a Christian and your emotions are rising up and you find yourself not really defending the faith in a gentle, respectful manner, but you're trying to like debate somebody to Jesus, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Debating, nobody gets debated to Jesus. The work is done by the Holy Spirit. All we're to do is be ambassadors of Christ. We are to represent. So when the world is falling apart and somebody walks up to you and says, hey, what's going on in this world? What's happening? The answer from us shouldn't sound like, well, you know, you heathens out there, you people are rejecting the truth, And, you know, you're going to perish, and the message of the cross is foolishness to you people that are perishing. So what do you expect? You threw God out of churches. You threw God out of schools. You're throwing God, you know, what do you expect? That is not evangelism. That's not. Now, is there some truth to that? Well, yes. But you've wrapped it up in some type of personal aggressiveness because you want a debate, because you're angry about the direction of the world is going. Well, I'm angry about the direction of the world is going too. But I can't sin in that anger. Now, do I think that's a challenge to Christians to rise up and stand for the truth of the gospel? Absolutely. I think we've sat on our hands way too long, and we've wasted testimonies. We've wasted evangelism. We've wasted gentle responses to people who have asked us about our faith because we've shown them unrighteous anger. So when people come up and they ask us, you know, what's going on in this world? You know, we need to be ambassadors of Christ. We need to let the Holy Spirit do the work. And we need to point to Scripture more than we point to anger or debating. And that's the thing that's bothering the most. So let me give you a couple examples. I know I've been a little bit all over the place, and it's because I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of excited about being able to have a platform to be able to answer some questions and to reach some people in a medium that maybe they don't walk into church. They don't open up a Bible. But maybe they're flipping through a dial and something that I'm saying is striking a chord with somebody. So let's just kind of, I'm going to laser point this a little bit right now. So one of the issues that Christians are challenged by right now is our own frustration. And I see it in the people of my church at Rockville Life Fellowship. I see it all the time. You know, we've been open 7 years. I've been a pastor 10 years. Before that, I was a worship leader. So I've been in churches for, you know, a long time now. And I've seen different people come up and voice their frustrations. And there is a lot. And I'm one of them. You know, I'll voice my frustrations with the world. But listen, we're challenged right now. We're called to be bold and strong and courageous. You know, followers of Christ are called to be ambassadors of Christ, that we represent the truth, that we're to be able to explain the reason for our faith in a bold, courageous, but loving and gentle manner. But if people, if all they see, the ones that are seeking answers, if all they see is, you know, vitriol, and they see anger, and they see our frustration, and we're debating with them rather than sharing the gospel, we need to step back, because we need to let God minister to us. I'm a firm believer, and I've been telling people this in my own congregation, I'm a firm believer that we are to take care of our own house. We are to get our own ministries and affairs in order before we can truly be effective ministers of Christ. Because people will see our own walk struggling. Not that we still can't tell people, but if we do it in a testimonial way, hey, look, this is where I was, this is where I am, I've got a long way to go, but I'm telling you, the only way that I'm making it right now, it's through my relationship with Jesus. And I know I have work to do, and I know I'm struggling in these areas. Humility goes a long way, people. Humility goes a long way. I never wanted to be one of those pastors that stood before the congregation and even with a hint talked about how well I have my life together and how perfect everything is and how every day is just joy, 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 and just blessings upon blessings, and I never have a trial, I never have a struggle, I never have a tribulation. Because that's just not true. I struggle like everybody else. And God has brought me to a certain point in my life where I thank God there's been victories and there's been overcoming and there's been a defeat of the enemy and influence in my life. That doesn't mean I'm not falling into temptation at times. That means I don't blow it on occasion. But God has really done a work in my life, and he's really continued to do that work in my life every day. So let me pause for a minute. So, because I truly believe getting to know people and understanding who they are so that you can allow them to kind of speak in your life. I've had people, and I challenge my people in my own congregation, I challenge people that when you walk into church, there's some healing that needs to be done. There are things that God wants to do in your life before we can really, truly become effective ministers. Can we share the gospel at any time? Yes. But it's very difficult to share the gospel with somebody when they look at you and your life's falling apart. or you're struggling to the point where they look at you and say, well, wait a minute, I don't see a lot of fruit in your life. I don't see, you know, God working so well in your life. That may be an indication to us that we need to step back, work on our ministry, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, get to a point where our testimony starts becoming a work in progress. It doesn't do any good to fall back, backslide, struggle, constantly give in to sin, and then try to minister to somebody that doesn't know Christ. They're going to look at us and think we're crazy. All right, does that mean we can't minister the gospel? No, we can. But let's be real. Where are we in our own lives? What are we struggling with? When we try to minister, do people see brokenness and struggles and active sin? And then we try to tell them what Jesus can do? We just look like hypocrites. So back to the very first question. What's going on in this world? And people that are asking for questions and they're looking for answers to these questions, how good are we doing, people? How good are we as followers of Christ? How well are we doing explaining who Christ is and showing them who we are as followers of Christ? Are we showing them we're a work in progress? Are we showing them what God's doing in our lives, what he's done and what he's going to do? Or are we just arguing? Are we just showing our anger? And are we failing to show them that I'm a work in progress? So that's the whole point. We need to be able to say, look, there are things that are happening in this world. Let me tell you what the Bible says, why this is happening, because people are rejecting the truth. And God says that when you reject the truth, we're asking for it. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be ramifications to rejecting the truth of God. And God says that all this is going to happen. And then he says, well, what is the escape? Jesus says, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way you get to the Father is through me. And he has a helper for us. That's his Holy Spirit. So here's the big deal, too. It is a challenge for us Christians to not let ourselves get so angry, to prepare ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually to be ambassadors of Christ, to be able to give answers to these people that are now asking questions. All right, here's another challenge for you. Here's another statistic you're more than welcome to look up. But let's say 60 years ago, I looked at a poll about 60 years ago, and this Barna poll and Pew Research basically said 40, 50, 60 years ago, you could see the decline of people who have faith in God actively. And I'm not talking about faith in a God. I mean the God, the God of the Bible. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the God of the Bible, the real Jesus, the real Holy Spirit, the real Father God, okay? I'm not talking about a God, but the decline. And it's been mostly also in our youth. 72% of the people in the 1950s would go to church as a family. The youth would claim about between 65 and 70% would say they were active in their faith. And then you can see as each generation has gone by, each decade, each generation, that's dwindled. And the last thing I saw, millennials had dwindled down to about 13% faith in God, actively even going to church, any type of Bible study, youth group, anything. And then the last statistic I saw was that in this new generation, Generation Y, I believe it's called, that it's down to 9%. So you've seen it crumble. Well, it's crumbled for lots of reasons, and I've already mentioned them in this broadcast, you know, people deleting God, getting rid of God, attacking the truth. So you can see why each generation is less and less exposed to the truth. They're not going to be there. So the point about this is that if we as Christians know this is a decline, how we are preparing ourselves to explain the gospel, to show the truth to people, it's a tough one. It's a real challenge. Are we preparing ourselves to basically go and tell people what the truth is? So let me give you a little bit more Bible scripture on this too. So here's what's happening. Evil is now called good, and good is now called evil. Isaiah 5:20-21 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. All right, so that's what we've been talking about. People that now think that whatever was ungodly is now good. And that usually comes down to selfishness, you know, doing what you want. Forget what God will, what God's will is. I want my will, whatever I do. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, that's 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And that's what's happening. So part of what we need to know as believers, when people ask us what's happening, we need to say, well, people are turning away from the truth. And they'll say, what is the truth? Well, God's word is the truth. And you can tell them that if you look in media and movies and TVs, it's Christianity that now people are saying that's wrong. They're giving us alternatives to faith, whether they're worshiping creation rather than the creator, whether they're stepping into false doctrines, false religions, or whether they just worship themselves and what their own will is and what their own ways are, which seems to be the overwhelming theme, because that's basically what the enemy says. Satan says, do what thou wilt, do what you want. Just whatever makes you feel good, do what you want. When God says, do my will, the Lord's Prayer says, you know, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, you know, on earth that is in heaven. So it's kind of like, do we want to obey what God's will is, or do we want to obey what our own will is? And that's what these Bible verses say. Romans 1:25 says, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. So are we prepared for that? If there's a purpose to today's broadcast, and I know I feel like at times I'm kind of feeding people with a fire hose, because I'm excited about what the church can do. I'm excited about you. If you're not a believer and you're listening to this, I'm excited about you have an opportunity to listen to what the truth is, how much Christ loves you, how much Jesus loves you, and he wants you with him for eternity, and he wants you to understand what the fake stuff is. God wants us to spend so much time with the truth of his word that we'll know the fake when we see it. We'll be able to avoid the false religions and the false truth and the false doctrine and the false things that people believe in and what they follow, because we're understanding what the truth is. I had a pastor one time who said, and he was kind of quoting a story, so probably originally it wasn't his, but he once said, well, one person came up to me one time and says, well, I want to know all about the false stuff. I want to study all the false things so then I can make my decision. And, you know, I want to study all the false religions and I want to worship this and worship that. And, you know, I want to learn so much about all these false things and then I'll study the Word of God. And my pastor basically says, okay, well, here's the way it works. A bank teller, when they're learning about money, somebody would walk up to a bank teller and said, oh, you must spend a lot of time with counterfeit money so you know it when you see it. And the bank teller says, no, that's not what we do at all. All we do is spend time with the real stuff, the real money. We touch it. We feel it. We examine it. We look at it. We hold it up to the light. We spend so much time examining and touching and feeling and with the real stuff, the real money, that when something comes along, when there's a bill that comes along that's fake, as soon as we touch it, as soon as we feel it, as soon as we hold it up to the light, we know it's fake. We know it's false. We know it's counterfeit. That's exactly the way it is with the Word of God. You spend so much time in the Word of God, searching for Christ, searching for the truth, searching for that relationship with God, being led by the real Holy Spirit, you know, examining it, holding up anything you come across to the light, that you will know the fake when you see it. You will understand the counterfeit once you come across it, or once it even tries to come across you. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. You know, can we prepare for all this? So here's another answer to the very first question we asked. What's going on in the world? Why is all this happening? Because people are rejecting the truth. Well, believers, how do we minister to them? Know the truth. Be a testimony. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself when you find yourself standing in front of you and someone asks you, what's going on in this world? What's happening? You're going to have answers. And it's not going to be your opinion, and it's not going to be your anger, and it's not going to be your frustration, and it's not going to be a debate. Well, let me tell you, if people would stop watching the media and the news, if they would start, you know, that's not going to do any good. If you spend time with the church, if you spend time with the Word of God, if you spend time in fellowship, if you spend time in prayer, if you spend time with the true Holy Spirit, meditating on God's word, worshiping God, loving God, you're going to be able to be an ambassador to Christ, a testimony to people that sometimes, and get this, this is important, this is a highlight, you won't even have to say anything. Because people are going to walk up to you and go, hey, I've been watching you. And what do you have? What's going on in your life? With all the stuff that's going on, and I know some things that are going on in your life, how are you holding it together? You know, you always seem like you have it in control. Like, and I've seen you, but you always seem to have some kind of joy. You always seem to be able to handle stuff. What do you have? Because I kind of want that. And you're going to be able to say, listen, it's nothing I'm doing. It's Christ in me. It's my faith in God. It's the Holy Spirit that's in me, that's helping me hang on despite trials and tribulations and tough times. It's the Word of God active in my life. It's my relationship with Jesus. It's my desire to please God first before anything else, before pleasing myself. I want, here, get this. There's just three things. I want to honor God. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit because that's what helps me. That's what gets me through things. That's what it's all about. Because despite what goes on around me, what really matters is what's going on inside of me. That's what matters. People will listen to that. People will listen to that. And I'll say this again. We don't debate people to Christ. We show them who we are as followers of Christ and what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. That'll speak louder. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. People will say that. They'll ask you. I've seen too many people that call themselves believers and followers, and maybe they are, but they're beaten people, unbelievers, people that have not yet a relationship with Christ yet. I call them, you know, pre-believers, you know, the pre-saved, but they're beating them over the head. They got a bullhorn in their ear. They grab them by the collar and say, you need Jesus. Then, well, you know, is there doctrinal truth to that? Yes. But the Bible specifically says we're ambassadors of Christ. We're his representatives. We're the church. We're the followers. We're fishers of men. We are to gently explain our faith in a bold manner. But people are to see our walk with Christ. And St. Francis of Assisi is attributed to a saint. And if you've probably heard it before, it's very famous, but if you haven't, it's kind of mind-blowing. It's kind of mind-blowing. St. Francis of Assisi is attributed as saying, go out and preach the gospel. And if you have to, use your words. I love that. It's a challenge. Do you want to tell people we're Christians, followers of Jesus, that Jesus has made a difference in our life? Or do we want to show them with how we live, how we treat others, how we love God, and how we love others as ourselves, and love God the way he loves us? Do we want to show people that? Okay, and I'm years old, you know, and it took me a long time to come around. It took me a long time to come around to where I am in my faith right now, and I still have a long way to go. I really do. I still struggle like everybody else. So, all right, I've got about 10 minutes left, and so what I want to do is I want to spend the last 10 minutes kind of being a little bit more open about like who I am and the testimony, and and I'll make it brief, but I've got about 10 minutes, and we'll close actually the last few minutes in some prayer and a little bit about the ministry of Rock of Life and what I believe we're called to do. But just let me tell you this one more time in case you didn't join us for the full hour. I've been saying a lot. John Sheffenson, the regular host of Christ Today, was in a car accident, and thank God he's on the mend, but he's got some rehab to do. He had some pretty big injuries to his arm. He'll be in rehab for a while. Then he's going to spend some time with his daughter in Crescent City. So hopefully he's back soon. Until he gets back, I'll be filling in. So we're going to, lift up John Sheffenson in prayer, as we did when we opened up the show. But I also said, really difficult for you to hear somebody and not know anything about them. And I shared a little bit about myself. But now I want to talk to you a little about a testimony and a ministry. Because I've talked about how to have faith in God. I've talked about how, through trials and tribulations, how Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and he's going to get us through things. And how people can see us, how we deal with our lives. If we call ourselves followers of Christ, how do we deal with life and all these things that are happening? How are we handling the civil unrest? How are we handling the political fighting? How are we handling the anger that rises up when we see people attacking the church, attacking the Word of God? How are we handling the race issues that we have right now, and education issues and food shortages and, blah, blah, blah. How are we handling that? All right. So I've been a pastor 10 years. Our church, Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico, has been open 7. So here's a little bit about me. I was a musician for years. My family is a family of musicians. My dad was a well-known entertainer in Hawaii, where I grew up. I had this really great eye-opening transition to my walk with God about 23 years ago, about 1998, so a little longer than that, about 24 years ago. So what happened to me was, in the midst of this growing my walk with God, 18 years ago, my wife and I have 2 daughters, and at the time they were around like 12 and 14. My daughter comes home, my wife comes home, and says, my toes are tingly. This is 2004. And that led us on this journey right in the middle of this ministry that we had, this music ministry. I was in part of a Christian rock group called JBC, and we were out there ministering. I'm still growing my faith in God. And the journey was that my wife develops a neuropathy, a disease similar to MS, and we still battle it. She no longer walks. She's no longer able to care for herself in a lot of different ways. It's been 18 years. And in the midst of that journey, we're trying to raise our 2 daughters, trying to have a ministry, trying to work on our lives, work on our marriage, all the other pitfalls that happen during life. And then in 2018, I live in Paradise, and as most of you out there have been affected, the fire happens, and we lose our home of 25 years. And my mom and dad lived with me at the time, but my dad had passed away in 2018 in June. Our associate pastor, Rick Stout, passed away in May of 2018. In November of 2018, we lose our house and everything. We just basically, I'm going to share this in a different broadcast, more detailed, but ran out of the house, to escape the fire. And then my wife, in January of that year, when we're living in a hotel in Chico, has a really bad fall off the scooter and shatters her leg and ends up in the hospital for 6 weeks, rehabbing and putting a rod and pins in her leg. And it was a tough year. So I could be mad, I could be angry, and I probably was for quite some time, or at least frustrated with what God was doing. But the point of this is, the only way I could get through that, because I found myself walking outside of Walmart at 10 o'clock at night, walking across the street to the hotel, carrying a bag of underwear and t-shirts and socks and a pair of pants and a shirt. And I stopped and said, God, what happened? I just, 8 months ago, my dad was here. I had my home, my car, my family all together. What happened? And it's just that moment where I will tell you, people ask me, how did you get through that? And I only have one answer, Jesus. That's the only way I could get through that kind of stuff. through the trials, the tribulations, the tough times, the disease battles, the fights, you know, the attacks of the enemy, losing your home, losing my dad, everything that you ever had, everything you worked for. Is that our answer? Is that our answer to people? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is our answer to their question, what is going on in the world? What is happening? How am I going to make it through this world? Look at all this stuff that's happening. You know, is our answer to them, look, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and we need to prepare ourselves. Christ will prepare us. God will prepare us. The Holy Spirit will prepare us for this battle that we're in right now, this journey. But I'll tell you what, in the midst of all this, man, it's awesome to be a follower of Christ. Man, it's amazing. It is so joyful. I'm blessed with two amazing daughters. And during that 2018 year, my daughter got married. My other daughter had a child, my first grandson. The people that poured into our lives, all the struggles, all the trials. I'll tell you, I'm more blessed than anything. It is amazing what God can do to your life in the midst of trials and struggles. And I still have victory. I've got the best friends I've ever had. I have a wonderful church full of love, and we're not perfect, and we struggle, and everybody's learning their relationship with Christ, and we have a mixture of people that are on milk and trying to figure out, you know, they're like infants trying to figure out their relationship with Christ. Others are, they're mentors. They're helping people in their walk, or they're at a place now where they serve Christ for years, but they find themselves in the midst of something that we can always learn something new about Christ. We can always learn something new about our walk. We can always be equipped better, learn more, grow more. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here on this earth. We're here to serve God, to praise him, to walk our life out in his will and his ways, to tell others about Christ. Is it easy? No, it's not. But man, it's amazing. Man, it's wonderful. And there's only two choices we have in life. Remember this. There's only two chances, or two choices we have in this life. Okay, here's the thing. Life is going to happen. Things are going to happen. Okay? Things are going to happen. Good, bad, in between. Things are going to happen. We've only got two choices, just two. We can go through life with God, or we can go through life without him. And I'm telling you, it is way better with him. Way better with him. God tells us so much in his word about his plan for us that believe, and what happens to us who, when we hear the truth, and how we receive him. So what I'm going to do in future broadcasts, I'm going to talk about having faith in God when a world rejects him. Future broadcasts will be explaining your faith to someone, how to explain the gospel fully, the offer of eternal life, and what does perish mean to those that reject God, sowing, reaping, how to prepare ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, mentally for persecution, how to develop your testimony, how to prepare ourselves through the tough times, how to prepare ourselves until the Lord calls us home, and we'll talk about end times. We'll talk about what's the rapture, what's the second coming, and we'll talk about more, and I hope that you join us. You can like, you know, and share us on Facebook. If you go to Christian Radio, ChicoChristianRadio.com. I've got about a minute left. So here's the thing. Let me close the program saying this. Mark this day and time when you listen to this program. There's many ways to listen to this program, Christ Today. Saturdays and Sundays. Saturday at 11 a.m., Sundays 11 a.m., and it repeats at 4 o'clock both days. You can listen to the radio AM 930, FM 104.5 for those of you who still have radios. You can download the KKXX app, which would be my suggestion. Go to ChicoChristianRadio.com. And if you don't have a church home, if you're looking for a way to start or grow your relationship with Christ, you can visit Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico. Just look us up on Facebook, Rock of Life Fellowship. We also have a YouTube channel that has all the Sunday messages. And the last thing is, hey, remember, God loves you where you are right now and has a purpose for you, a plan for you. Jesus is real. He's always relevant to our daily lives and wants a relationship with us that lasts forever. God bless you. Amen. Have a wonderful day. We are kneeling, desperately seeking you.